Johnny and Giuliano.
Real nigga shit. Other night at your crib, it was like me, Black, 40, Obi. We just sitting there talking about life. Play some beats. But I forgot to tell you one thing. Niggas called me to set you up. Want me to come and wet you up. Cause you are out of town, nigga, like Biggie. Heard about the shit with Diddy, so I came through to vest you up. And I got a vest for 40, a vest for Hush, a vest for every nigga with an owl on his chest. And what? I got LA Unified. You better all commit suicide. Teachers ain't testing us. See, I know how I feel to be platinum plus. Niggas is jealous of you, so they try to wrap you up, tax you up. But it's OVO blood money, nigga. Catch these bullets like you catch the bus. Dog fame is a motherfucker. Do a nigga four favors when you came through the fifth. How soon they forget? Run up on you at your granny house, do you nine like fifth? How a nigga supposed to love you niggas? Heart beating fast when I dap and when I hug you niggas. Dre told me not to trust you niggas. Your energy off, you finicky, I rush you niggas. Just walking around the crib like, why a nigga can't live? Get this money, fuck these bitches though. Thinking about the beef like, we can pass these motherfucking straps like a physical. This my city, nigga, everybody know it. Riding around town, just me and my 4 pound. Tucked in my time force, hoping I ain't gotta show it. LA niggas be the craziest. These niggas do some shady shit. Niggas will run up on your car, catch you off guard like the Lil Wayne and baby shit. 40, I'm fucked up.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me, 100.
LA, yeah, crazy as
100.
LA,
all I ever ask is 100.
LA,
yeah. Thank me later, thanks for nothing, thanks for bluffing. Thank you so, so much for wearing your true colors to every single fucking function. Had niggas tell me to my face how we were family and how they love me. Why they were skimming off the budget, now when I see them, they're the ones that's acting funny. People been reaching out to me and I'm on some straight unresponsive shit. I would have so many friends if I didn't have money, respect, and accomplishments. I would have so many friends if I held back the truth and I just gave out compliments. I would have all of your fans if I didn't go poppin', I stayed on some conscious shit. I would have so many more friends if I lost my success and my confidence. I'm in the club every time that they play the competition. If they even play the competition, then I seen the response they get. Yeah, nobody's even hearing it. On top of the pyramid, might go to Jamaica, disappear again. My circle got so smart, I disappear, yeah. Saying to myself, y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me, 100.
LA, yeah, crazy as
100.
LA,
all I ever ask is 100.
LA,
yeah.
That was my real nigga. Held a nigga down since he was a little nigga. If he was still alive, he would kill niggas. He was Lil Snoop, I was Meek Mill. Niggas know how it feel when you missing your nigga though. Can't think so you roll up that indigo. Stressing while driving down Figaro. Blowing kush clouds until his ghost is in my ghost. Damn. Make a real nigga wanna give us like the God, like here it go. Screaming frog name at the clouds, they don't hit me though. Guess they too busy with Tupac and Biggie though. You niggas don't feel me though, that was on Shug's watch. I take Shug's watch, you dissing Drizzy, that's cool, but don't come to my city though. Not even in H-Town. So underground that I gotta be a trail nigga. Strapped up from the waist down. That's word to Pimp C, J Prince is my real nigga. Shit was so simple when Henchman was out. He had a young nigga right there with Meech. So happy when Blue Da Vinci got out. We came up on these California streets. LA niggas be the craziest. These niggas do some shady shit. Niggas will run up on your car, catch you off guard like the Lil Wayne and baby shit. Got a nigga confused, but why a nigga gotta choose? Don't even matter, dawg, cause I'ma always be a real nigga. Always be a real nigga. I never learned how to be nothing but a real nigga.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me, 100. Yeah, 100. All I ever ask is 100. Yeah, 100. All I ever ask is 100.
Y'all already know what it is, and what it's always going to be. Now, it's been a while, I think I was so busy putting season 12 together, which is fire, by the way, that I still forgot that we still got season 11 popping off. So we are in the midst of wrapping up the last few episodes of this season. We got a lot of surprises happening for season 12. A lot of dope things are going on. All right, so tonight's episode is simple, man. I just wanted to talk about something that's been weighing in on my mind for a long time. And sometimes you have to dig into yourself and tell yourself that you are the problem. You know, sometimes you have to correct yourself. Sometimes you have to uplift yourself. Sometimes you have to rebuild yourself. Sometimes you have to stop yourself from making the toughest choices that you don't want to make, but you have to make them, but you stop yourself from making them because you're afraid of what's on the other side of the door. Sometimes you have to make those tough choices because things are weighing you down and it's not putting you in the position where you want to succeed. But they're tough choices because it's people, places, things that you love so much. And you just feel like, man, like life can't be this without them. And things like that. So sometimes you go through things and you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. You know you go through things. You know you fall. You know it. But you choose to ignore it. You choose to look past it. You choose to sweep it under the rug. You choose to let bygones be bygones. You choose to, you know, figure you can get over things instead of going through things. And for me, I look back at so many choices and mistakes that I've made these last, I want to say 4 or 5 years, and I just be feeling like, yo, I wish I could take this shit back. But in all actuality, in all hindsight, you can't, you know, you just go through it. You just get through it. You just keep pushing. You just keep moving. You just keep growing. You just keep grinding. You just keep pulling because at the end of the line, it's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And what I realized is sometimes that even though you don't want to admit that you are the problem, that you have flaws, that you are going through things, that you make mistakes, it is hard. As hard as it is to admit it, it's hard to put it out there because now you feel like you have given someone ammo to use against you. And I dealt with that my whole life. And I was scared. I was scared to admit that I had problems, admit that I was a failure, admit that, you know, I made mistakes because I was scared. And I spent the better part of my life being scared of being corrected. And then I realized that one of the main people that needed correcting, that had to do the correcting, was me. I had to change a lot of my ways because I felt like if I didn't, I was going to fall off a cliff. And once I fell off a cliff, there was no bungee cord or no safety gear or anything to pick me up. I felt like, yo, I am getting ready to fall off this cliff. I think about everything in a different perspective now because I realized that I have to correct me, because patterns, they grow. Bad habits are hard to stop. And when I looked at everything that I was going through, when I looked at all the dark holes that I had climbed myself into and all the dark holes that I had climbed out of just to jump back into another dark hole, I realized that I'm the problem. Think about it. When you go through all the things that you go through and you feel how you feel and you know, everybody around you is leaving you. Everybody around you is staying away from you. Everybody around you is distancing themselves. You got to stop thinking it's everybody else, because it's not just everybody else. Sometimes it's you. And I thought about this. I did. I really thought about this. Like, it's me. I'm the problem. I'm the antagonist in my own story, you know? And sometimes you have to correct yourself. You have to eliminate yourself by getting yourself out of these situations that mean you no good. And yeah, it's going to suck. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to bother you. But sometimes you have to get out of those situations, because if it brings you no peace, if it brings you no understanding, if it brings you no love, if you can't communicate with it, if you can't change it, if you can't retool it, if you can't rebuild it, get away from it. All you're going to do is spend your time dragging yourself down. And there's nothing much you can do once you're in it too deep, like Omar. You feel scared. You feel neglected. You feel abandoned. Yeah, these are feelings that you're going to feel when you're correcting yourself. Because sometimes you have to change self. Sometimes you don't have to worry about what everybody else is saying or what everybody else is feeling. Sometimes you have to change self. I used to be this person. And I'll tell you this person that I used to be. I used to be this person who was afraid to live. What I mean by that is I was afraid to live. I was afraid to see new things and try new things. And I was afraid to have fun. I was mostly a serious person to a certain extent. Like, I can crack jokes. I can laugh. I'm funny. Things like that. I think it's just one of those things that you have to stand by and progress. It took me 37 years to progress because I was in my I'm a Toys R Us kid phase. I didn't want to grow up phase. Like, I was serious about things that I need to be serious about. I was serious about family. I was serious about my kids. I was serious about my money. I was serious about growth. But there was a lot of things I wasn't serious about growing up. I wasn't serious about none of the relationships I was in. I wasn't serious about my jobs because I didn't really care. Like, I felt like, yeah, I can go find another job. Like, it's nothing. My credentials speak for themselves. Like, I'm a hard worker. I'm a leader. So, you know, I could find another job. You know, I didn't care too much about anything other than me. I was selfish. I was selfish for 37 years. Oh, yeah. My kids were good. I made sure that, you know, and even sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm not the best father, but my references tell me differently, you know. And I think about that shit quite a lot. Like, yo, I am not who I wanted to be. And it was a lot of times I would look at myself in the mirror and just be like, yo, you are not, this ain't you. This is not you. This is not who you are. And there was times that, you know, I just didn't care what the world thought about me. I didn't care what people said about me. I didn't care what people felt about me, because it was just like, yo, there are no bunk beds in caskets. I'm going to come in on this earth alone and I'm going to leave this earth alone. So I stopped caring about what other people thought about me. I don't care. I don't. Because at the end of the day, I feel like this. If you spend your life worried about what everybody else is thinking, are you really living? You know what I'm saying? Are you really living? I'm just at this point where, you know, you go through things and you are in a world heavyweight fight, and you don't know if you're going to get out of it because you're scared that decisions didn't go the way that they were supposed to do. And I had a tough time starting over. And I think I stayed in relationships and in friendships and associationships and things like that for too long because I felt like I was scared to start over. I didn't want to start over. I didn't want to have to, you know, start from scratch. But the way I look at it, for the last 4 years, I've been starting my life over and over. Every year I start my life over. And every year I adapt. And every year I figure things out on what happened last year that didn't work out. And I'm going to keep doing that because I'm correcting myself. It doesn't matter how many times I have to start over. It just feels like, yo, I have to get this right. I have to get this right. I cannot fail. I cannot fall. I cannot, you know, I just can't. I just can't. I refuse to keep failing. I look back at my last 4 years. I feel like a failure in a sense because, you know, I'm just not now starting to understand how life works. I'm just not now starting to understand how things change and how, you know, people go. I've lost friends. I've lost family. I've lost associates. I've lost children. I've been on the verge over and over again, flipping and turning of losing marriage. I had to look at myself and ask myself, yo, are you tired of losing? Are you tired of losing? Because for the last 4 years, that's all I've done pretty much is lost. Are you tired of losing yet? And then I had to step up and think to myself like, yo, you're not a loser. You're just falling through hard times right now. You're just going through hard times. You're punishing yourself. You're kicking yourself while you're down. You're not really understanding the do's and the don'ts of life. You're just trying to find your footing. And I spent so much time hurting. And not just hurting people around me. I spent so much time hurting myself. And I realized a lot of times that I've said things to people who have gotten under my skin that I probably shouldn't have. You know, I've allowed things to go on longer than they should have. Hell, I've been in situations where I could have been put an end to it, but I'd rather keep up with the fuckery. I'd rather keep the mess going. I'd rather keep the chaos going because that's what I liked. That was my healing mechanism. Like, if I'm chaotic in my life, if my life is chaotic, then I'm going to cause chaos in yours. I'm going to cause havoc in yours. I'm going to, you know, be that person, and I'm going to do those things, and I'm going to act in a certain way. See, I never took the time to really see how my actions affected others around me. At that time, I was very selfish. I wanted you to feel all the pain that I was feeling. I wanted you to not be happy, to not be cool, to not be, you know, succeeding. I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? And I think I had to just look at myself in the mirror and just like, yo, destroying everybody else's happiness is not going to give you happiness. Yeah, temporarily, you might feel happy. You might feel like you succeeded. You might feel like you pushing yourself to the top. But really, it just makes you look weak. I am my own worst critic. I am my own worst enemy. I believe in everything being perfected by me. Like, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to get it right. When I look back at all my years of podcasting, it was a lot of things that I felt like I should have did better. So every year, every season that I come out, I try to improve. I try to give y'all things that, you know, I see. And I feel like in the midst of that, I've gotten away from the essence of why we started Bet the House podcast in the first place. We started this to be an outlet to express the things that we felt, to get things off our chest and say what we feel. And we feel like every time we are risking it all, we are going to do whatever we want because we have to succeed. This has to work. It has to work. It cannot fail. And I feel like I've bet the house on everything that I've stood on, everything that I've grounded myself on, everything that I built, everything that I succeeded, everything that I've understood, all that comes from Bet the House. And I've bet my house, my podcast, my brand, my life, my family, my marriage, everything 100 times over because I believed in it that much. I believed in me, you know, And I knew that I was taking chances and taking risks when I stepped up and made the choices that I made. But then again, sometimes, you know, you just have to come correct. You just have to rebuild and reboot yourself. See, sometimes everybody can't help you. Everybody can't do the things for you that you want them to do. Sometimes you have to push and grind and go forth and take yourself out of the world's shoes and put yourself in your own shoes, because that's what it's about. Sometimes you have to say, all right, listen, I'm the problem and I'm on my J. Cole shit. Honestly, sometimes you just got to apologize when something don't sit right with your spirit. It doesn't make you weak. I've said that plenty of times. It doesn't make you less of a man to apologize. It doesn't make you less of a man to say I was wrong. It doesn't make you less of a man to admit, hey, I need help. I'm going through something. I don't quite understand this. It doesn't make you less of a person to ask questions. It doesn't make you less of a person to sit here and be taught by another person because they have made learning uncool. Well, learning isn't uncool. Learning, that's how you build. That's how you adapt. That's how you go through things. And I think that's just pretty much what it's about. It's about understanding. It's about flipping yourself and taking yourself to a whole nother level. It's about pushing yourself. So I say all this to say that I've saw all my errors and things that I went wrong with Bet the House, and where we strayed along and where we lost course and where we lost direction and where we lost. And I'm just telling people now, and I say this so sincerely, and I hope it lights a fire amongst my peers. It's over with. Playtime is over with. All right. We back. We are fucking back. And if you thought for a second that I had took the gas off the brakes, or I was finna give it to y'all light, or I was finna fall off, or, you know, this is the end of an era. It was the end of podcasting. It was the end of everything that we built. You are sadly mistaken. We are back. May 25th, brand new episodes of Bet the House. We changing the format up, but the same quality is intact. We back to bringing the real. We back to bringing the funny. We back to bringing the crazy. We back to bringing the shenanigans. Y'all already know what the fuck is going on, man. We ain't playing no games. At the end of August, Bet the House, live. We got a live show coming up in August. And I am telling y'all, if you have never experienced a live podcast event, this is the one. This is definitely going to be the one. I'm not coming by myself, though. I got some people coming. I got some people pulling up. So when I tell y'all, behind the scenes, Big Smash has been working. I got some people pulling up, all right? And when I tell you we pulling up, when I tell you how this is going to work, we're going live, and I'm going to bring some of my podcast friends, and we're going to put together a live event that you have never seen. You're going to get four different shows in one night. You're going to get musical guests. You're going to get audience participation. You're going to get everything, man. This is Bet the House. This is Big Smash. And I'm not playing anymore. So I'm done saying what I'm about to do, and we're about to start doing it. I've let all you podcasters out here, I've let y'all breathe. I've let y'all do y'all thing. I've let y'all soil the game up that I love. I've let it all ride. I've been put up. All right? I've been put up. I've been minding my business. I ain't been bothering nobody. I ain't been in tune with nobody. But, man, the shackles is coming off. We coming back outside. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? If you get ready now, you ain't got to be ready when we do pop out, because we popping out. It's Bet the House, man. It's Big Smash. Shout out to everybody that played a part in everything that we about to do. Shout out to everybody that's doing their thing. Shout out to all the podcasters that's been holding it down and doing your own thing out here. It's all good. It's all love. I love seeing y'all shine and thrive. But it's time to put the kids to bed. All right? So consider this a fair countdown, fair warning. May 25th. That's doomsday for a lot of podcasting as you know it. That's doomsday. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Y'all already know what it is, man. And in case you didn't know, like I said before, I'm Big Smash, host of Bet the House Podcast, creator of Bet the House Podcast, and a whole bunch of other things. Get ready for the Bet the House Network coming soon. Shout out to the Black Podcast Conglomerate. It's still around. We working. And shout out to everybody that believed in us, everybody that's been grinding with us. You know, I feel like Drake right now. It's 20 against 1, but we going to smack it all down. Y'all already know what it is. We'll catch y'all in the meantime on the flip side. New episodes coming soon.